What a day. Welcome in. It is gorgeous in the nation's capital. Wednesday, April 10th, 2024. We are Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. It's a short show. We're going to jam a lot into a little bit of time. We're only with you until about 3:15 today. That's when we hand the airwaves over to Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler for pregame ahead of Nationals baseball. As Toby just told you, they are looking for a sweep. Danny, if today was a lady, it'd be Emily Ratajkowski. I mean, it is pretty outside. If today was a man, it'd be...
Hemsworth?
Don Cheadle.
Oh.
It is handsome out there.
Yeah, there you go.
It is a good-looking day.
It's a Doug Cameron of days, to keep it local. Sorry, just real quick, Charlie Linger just made another save. He made another one. Good heavens, last night. Shooting gallery. But Alex Ovechkin scored. The boys, as one of my favorite quotes, both from one of my favorite movies, Unforgiven, and from The Wire, deserve ain't got nothing to do with it. The Capitals were outshot almost 2-1 last night. Those 2 points still count in the standings. Thank you very much. I will certainly take it and run with it.
Yeah, they were significant. Let's get right into it then. The Capitals with the biggest win of their year. You mentioned Ovi scoring a goal. That's 30 for Ovechkin, who scored just 8 times in the first 43 games this season, was on pace at the midway point for 15 or 16 goals. Last night, he became the first player in the history of the National Hockey League to score 30 goals in 18 seasons to begin his career.
Back out for Sherrod at center. Sherrod will go cross ice. It bounces off a sider, and the Capitals got momentum here. Here comes Ovechkin, left side, shooting, he scores! With 7.2 seconds to go, it's his 30th goal of the season, and Alex Ovechkin is the first player in National Hockey League history to get 30 or more goals in 18 seasons, and it is a gigantic goal here in Detroit. It's 2-0, Washington!
They don't get much bigger than that in the regular season. A multi-goal lead, waning seconds of the second period, just a backbreaker for a Detroit team that had outplayed the Caps, as you said, handily for most of the game. And then they were going to go into the dressing room down a couple of goals after 40 minutes. But let's get to Ovi in a second. Charlie Lindgren.
Charlie Lindgren, man.
Chucky Brickwall, as I like to call him, as of yesterday. What an incredible performance. That was a masterpiece. 42 saves. It is a shame, an absolute travesty that it wasn't a shutout.
I'm so annoyed about it, by the way.
For people that weren't watching the end of the game, up 2-0 with a couple seconds to go, there was a big pile up in the crease in front of the cage, and eventually Patrick Kane, I think it was, pushed the puck into the back of the net.
Yep.
In this skirmish of bodies with literally 1.5 seconds to go. Sub 1.5 seconds, they score, so it's not a shutout. So it's not the sixth of his season, but rather just a game where you gave up a goal. 42 saves on 43 shots, and I don't think that tells the story, Danny. He stole the game. He kept the Caps in it early when they were just under siege and being completely dominated. They had no offensive zone time for most of the first 30 minutes of the game. Lindgren did yesterday what you can dream about if they were to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
That game, if you have that against any of the powerhouses in the East, you could steal a playoff game. If you string some of those together, you could steal a series. And wasn't it awesome, the interviews with coaches, players throughout the night for the Red Wings on the national telecast, the sideline reports of players breaking sticks and being frustrated? He was in their head. They had all the shots, all the good looks, and they couldn't beat him. How many times have we been on the other side of that?
I have experienced that, and everyone else can taste my pain. They can all rot. Deal with it. Sorry. Suck on that rotten egg. Yeah. He was absurd last night. It harkened back to, you know, those old school kind of like Martin Brodeur stealing series, or Dominic Hasek with the acrobatics all the time, or Grant Fuhr back in the day for the Edmonton Oilers, and you Patrick Roy. You can name all your goalies. And I'm not putting Charlie Lindgren on that level because he's not sustained excellence for decades, not going to the Hall of Fame. But last night, he was so sensational that kind of nothing else mattered. It's like one of those days where it's like, yep, the starting pitcher is beyond filthy. It's Pedro Martinez and his arm feels good. Let's get him tomorrow. He was so unbelievably good for an undermanned, outclassed Caps team that needed those points desperately. He is the hero of the day.
no Rasmus Sandin defensively, so John Carlson played 30 minutes last night of the 60. 30 minutes for him, the number two ice time defenseman and player in the National Hockey League this year. Yeoman's effort. Back to Ovi for a moment, goal number 30. I am out of words for the second half of his season. 8 goals after 43 games. You and I, after weeks of pushing it off, we kept saying, do we talk about it today? No, let's give him another week. Do we talk about it today? Let's give him another week. And finally, one day, you and I said, we got to do this. We got to talk about how, if something dramatic doesn't change, he's not catching Gretzky, and maybe he's finally hit the wall.
How about something dramatic? How about that?
22 goals in 32 games.
Come on, man.
He is skating and playing now at a 56-goal pace over the last 40% of the hockey season. 32 games, okay? 40% of a season. A 56-goal pace at 38 years old. He's basically scoring at the same level post-All-Star break as Austin Matthews now. He might score another 2 or 3 goals in the final 4 games, potentially. But already right now, he is within 42 goals of Wayne Gretzky, which means, Danny, realistically, he could get it at the end of next season.
It could happen.
Might carry over into the final year of his deal in the first few weeks. But let's just say next year, if he's playing at the level he has this season, he goes out and scores 45 goals, he surpasses Gretzky with a year left on his contract.
I love him so much. If he kept that 8-goal every 43-game pace and, you know, was limping along, it doesn't change the fact that he's the greatest goal scorer ever to live. Still, in my humble opinion, right? What he's doing now versus what those guys did then, you can just look at a side-by-side. When you saw a goalie that even was great back in the day, there's just less surface area they're taking up in the goal. Now these guys basically take up the entire cage when they're in their shirts and pads and the thickness of all these different things, and they're better than they've ever been. It's harder to score than it's ever been, the points per game, the goals per game, all that stuff, down over the entirety of his career. The NHL is the only sport, by the way, the Big Four, that hasn't gotten the memo that everybody likes offense. They're like, nah, we want more clutching and grabbing and face washing and tripping and neutral zone traps. So it's harder to score than it was in the 80s when guys weren't wearing helmets and, you know, guys were skating around with mustaches and mullets. It's a different time. And still, we'd be doing this right now. We'd be talking about him breaking the record 2 weeks ago if it wasn't for lockouts, pandemics, a couple injuries, suspensions, etc. He continues. Anytime there's a reason, that's not like some crazy hot take, or it's not like Colin Cowherd saw him one shift and made some bold declaration. A reasonable question is asked. Hey, is he slowing down? You know, like every human being that's ever lived. Is this maybe the decline that would be perfectly reasonable and acceptable? And the answer is always no. And not only no, shut up. Watch this, idiot. Watch me. My God, is he splendid. I love him.
Caps right now, this moment, are in the playoffs. As of last night, they leapfrogged Detroit. So they have played the same number of games as the Penguins. Both have 4 to go. They're up 1 point on Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's got a slightly more fortuitous schedule the rest of the way. The other thing I would add, though, is they're 2 points back of the Islanders to get in as a third team in the Metro.
Mm-hmm.
There's two paths, as we keep telling you. The second wild card or the third team in the Metro. If they get to being number 3 in their division, they get an automatic bid, or they got to be the second of all the teams in the East. And right now, they are second in the wild card at 85 points, 1 ahead of Pittsburgh, 1 ahead of Detroit. The Islanders beat the Rangers last night. They got out to a 3-0 lead and then held on. But they're 2 points in the clear of Washington, having played the same number of games. So they're in a pretty good spot. You need them to collapse if you're going to get in via the Metro. But bottom line is the Caps have to handle their business.
Yes.
They've got the Buffalo Sabres tomorrow night. That's a 7 o'clock puck drop. The Sabres destroyed the Capitals 6-2 just last week, so it's a chance for a rematch. It's a team that they don't match up well with. It's a very fast, young collection of skaters who are actually way better than their record. So it's going to be a very tough game. By the way, we got an alt cast tomorrow night. If you want to watch Monumental 2.
Yes, man. Who are you hanging with?
It'll be Carl Alsner and
Brent
Johnson tomorrow night. So the three of us will be hanging out on the couches watching the game, but they're in for the moment. Still, percentage-wise, if you care about that kind of stuff, they're not expected to make the playoffs just based on who they play the rest of the way and who everybody else plays. And also, ha-ha to the Flyers and their fans. What a joke.
Ha-ha.
I mean, they have gone from basically locked into the playoffs a couple weeks ago to having no chance now. They gave up a 9 spot last night. Do you know that?
I didn't actually, but that's you hate to see it, don't you?
They lost 9-3 to the Canadiens with their season on the line. What's happened to them is actually comical.
And by the way,
and in no way am I feeling bad about it.
Can I just for me, didn't you? Just a couple of guys hanging out talking. And Montreal sucks too. That's the best part. Montreal's the lowest. They had the second fewest points in the whole conference. And the game they have to have. And they left a little goose turd right out the center ice. Isn't that a shame? Don't you hate to see it?
Goals. 9 times.
9 times.
The Nationals have won 3 in a row.
Here we go.
An actual winning streak. The Nationals did score Charlie Slows. They did. It happened.
Mm-hmm.
Darris can't play that clip today saying they didn't score. C.J. Abrams was back after a 3-day respite for a little injury. He came back with vengeance, RBI knocks in each of his first couple of swings, including a beautiful solo home run out in San Francisco.
The 2-2 coming to Abrams. Swinging a drive, well hit to right field. This one is back. Yastrzemski looking up. It's got a chance, and it is long gone. C.J. Abrams puts one almost out of sight. Deep right center field. Welcome back to the lineup, C.J. Abrams. Third of the year, Nationals lead 2-1.
I said solo. It was actually a 2-run shot.
Jacob Young's on.
Young gets on right before that after basically no National could get on against Kyle Harrison, so he kept the inning alive with 2 outs, a little rally, and then Abrams goes deep to give him a lead. Eventually, despite being up 3-1, they would blow the lead and have to come back and win the game, which they did. If you were up late with us last night for late night Nats, Kyle Finnegan. Bases loaded, nobody out, trying to protect a 2-run lead. Tapper back to the mound, throws to home plate to get the first out. And then a tailor-made 643 double play on C.J. Abrams' night, who was sterling defensively, home run, RBI knocked the other way. We got a star in our midst.
That's happening. B, Finnegan had to come in the 8th because Harvey left with an injury, took a ball off his left hand, his non-throwing hand, thankfully. So Finnegan had to come in the 8th, a bit of a weird non-rhythm type thing. Had to get the 4-out save there, was able to do it walking the tightrope. 2, I want to shout something out real quick. On the telecast, so Jacob Young hits a single with 2 outs. I think it was with 2 outs. Steals second. On a 1-2 count, steals third with basically no throw. The Giants let him have it. Kevin Franzen on the broadcast starts saying why that's valuable. Most of the time, you don't care about stealing third base with 2 outs, etc. But he's saying that might influence pitch selection here. You don't want to bounce something with Young putting pressure on there on third base. About a quarter second later, here's your fastball, middle. C.J. Abrams hits it so hard. 8 million miles into right center field. I don't take stuff like that for granted. We are really lucky here. Charlie and Dave, you're Dave's call. He's fantastic. The radio broadcast is outstanding, and it's right here on these airwaves. Our TV broadcast is pretty damn good, too. I think Franny is really good. I'm a Kevin Franzen guy.
106 miles per hour off the bat for C.J. Abrams, to your point, yesterday. Here's how many games it took Abrams to hit his third home run of the season. In his rookie year 2022, he played in 90 games. He never got there. He hit 2 in 90 games. Last year, it took him 39 games to hit his third home run. He did it in 8 games this year.
C.J. Abrams is him?
Yeah, Charlie.
Yes, he is, Charlie.
He absolutely is. I'm telling you, man, we got a star brewing right now in the middle of the Nationals clubhouse. He's running the show at the top of their order. It's C.J. Abrams. Also on the Nationals, if I could point this out, they are now tied for the major league lead in stolen bases as a team. The Nats have never been the anytime they get on, they run team. 23 steals, tied with the Reds. They've also been thrown out at the lowest percentage in Major League Baseball among the teams that run a lot.
And includes one last night, even with that, yeah.
Only 2 times this season, Abrams got thrown out once last night. They have been thrown out trying to advance on the base paths. But this has been a track meet. They've got 4 guys who have had 3 steals in a game already this year. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
They've only played 11 games. Abrams has a 3-steal game. Lane Thomas did it. Jacob Young has done it. And Trey Lipscomb. 4 different players have 3-steal games. Now, some of this is the new rules. It's easier to steal than it's probably ever been before. I actually love it, by the way, to see the action on the base paths, the athleticism coming back to the game, watching guys manufacture and build runs without having to hit home runs is awesome. And I really, really enjoy that part of the game. So kudos to Manfred and baseball for tweaking some of the rules. Base paths a little closer together just based on the bases changing size. Mm-hmm. Obviously, how often you're able to throw over, the pitch clock helping with timing, all those things. But the Nats, major league leaders with 23 steals right now, 7-plus steals or more. If you look at the stat sheet, only one team other than the Nationals had 7 or more steals only being thrown out once, and they were 22 of 23 before late last night. Pretty incredible.
It's a good nugget. And just to contrast it, the Giants, their opponents this week, have none. They have 0 steals as a team. As the rules have changed, you're going to look up and see the guys coming from the minors as well for the Nationals that sort of fit this mold. It's not plotting station-to-station guys, right? There are going to be a couple dudes that are, you know, maybe a little bit more power over speed, but these are athletic guys that are going to come up and be able to steal 15, 20 bags or more. Some of these dudes, think James Wood and Dylan Cruz, who runs pretty well in his own right. So you're sort of built for this new era of baseball, and the Nationals are taking advantage. If you're not going to hit a bunch of homers, you probably need to do this, and they're doing it. Good for them.
5-6, chance to get to 500 today if they can sweep San Francisco.
Why not?
They could easily be 6-5 if they just didn't blow a lead in the ninth on the Finnegan blown save against the Reds, going back to the opening series of the season. So they've been playing all right. To the NFL, Danny, we now know the matchup for Week 1 in Brazil, first ever NFL game in South America. We were hoping the Commanders could be playing the Eagles. That will not be the case. Good matchup, though. Packers-Eagles in Brazil on the opening Friday night of the season. This will be a Peacock exclusive game, so make sure you've got your app ready to go. First Friday night Week 1 game in the National Football League since 1970. Green Bay coming off of a great stretch run. Jordan Love becoming seemingly a franchise QB and a guy they can lean on for years to come against the Eagles, who are trying to establish early season supremacy in the division and in the conference after a Super Bowl berth a couple years ago.
So I'm kind of relieved that it's not Washington. Like, I know that might have been cool or might have been different or something like that. It just, I don't like necessarily the rhythm disruption to a week and how strange that is, the international travel type stuff. You know, so I'm glad it's not Washington. It's cool that someone else is doing the guinea pig stuff for the spectacle. I'm into that.
The Packers were the last team to play a game outside of the United States. A couple years ago, they played a game in London. That was their first time doing the international thing. I find that shocking because of what a global brand they seem to be. Like, they're one of those iconic.
Oh, it's interesting, yeah.
Like, everyone knows the logo and the colors haven't changed. The uniform's the same for 100 years. You go back to Lambeau and you think about just some of the really important Lombardi, all the folks that were involved. The fact that the NFL wouldn't have sent them out globally at some point before a couple years ago is surprising, but this will be their second international game now. Mel Kiper came out with his mock draft 3.0, his latest rendition. I think this will be his penultimate mock. He's got one more before the draft a couple weeks from now. Did he stick with Jaden Daniels to Washington? We'll get into that next. Plus, speaking of Daniels, he is coming to Ashburn, a meeting Monday night into Tuesday early next week. What do you want asked of Jaden Daniels? Next on Grant and Danny.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, a short G&D today, taking you up to 3:15 and pregame ahead of Nationals baseball. Kick off your future with the law firm of Condori and Murat, the official G&D show sponsor. They will help protect your assets and update your will and trust. Schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys. Visit kmlawyers.com and mention this show to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. So Mel Kiper puts out his latest mock draft today. Commanders at number 2, Jaden Daniels, quarterback LSU. He made a lot of changes from his last mock. He did not change what he thinks Washington's going to do. Here's what he wrote, Danny. I'm sticking with Daniels, who I'm projecting to the Commanders in all 3 of my mock drafts. Why? I have him ranked higher than May, North Carolina, and J.J. McCarthy, Michigan, and really like the fit offensively for Daniels with Cliff Kingsbury. He then goes on to write, Washington traded away Sam Howell last month, clearing a spot for a rookie quarterback to take the reins. Daniels produced more than 15,000 combined passing and rushing yards at Arizona State and LSU, has all the tools to be a Pro Bowl passer. The Commanders need to keep building the infrastructure around him, though, and they have four picks on day two, two in the second round, two in the third round to help.
This is one of the things that's always hard for me about mocks, right, is Mel Kiper's initial statement there kind of gives away the business. And I'm not criticizing him. This is the nature of it. He goes, I have Daniels ranked higher. Therefore, that's what I'm doing. This isn't a sourced report, a bit of information, or I know the mind of Adam Peters, and nobody does for the record. It's not his fault that he doesn't know. They're keeping it really close to the vest. But his rankings have that, so that's where it goes. The next person that's got May ranked higher, who we talked to Max Chadwick yesterday, or 2 days ago, as it were, he's got May ranked a lot higher. So if he does a mock, he's going to say, I've got May ranked a lot higher, therefore he's going second, right? So this is always the hard part for me, is to kind of sift through what's real, what's not. It's interesting fodder. It should be discussed, and we certainly will. But that's what it says to me. And that's something I'm also curious about, too, by the way, is the part two of this, is the fit. The fit with not only Kingsbury's offense, but then by transitivity, the guys underneath him, presumably sustaining whatever we choose as the way we're going to run offense here to make some continuity for the young quarterback, so we're not changing OCs like we change underwear.
Yeah, I don't care about the Kingsbury fit that much. And seeing that...
The initial one, yeah.
Right. Seeing that as one of the reasons why he's assigning Daniels to Kingsbury. Number one, I would say that Drake May also fits the offense very well. Like, that goes both ways.
Mm-hmm.
I would take Drake May. I think Daniels is a really good fit in this offense, too. I think both of them would be. They've both been asked to do a lot of what I would consider to be Kingsbury-ish things. When you think about it, Kingsbury came from the air raid. The air raid was what, specifically two seasons ago when May balled out. But for much of his time in North Carolina, what he did. So let's say that is a prerequisite or is part of the conversation. Okay, that doesn't get us anywhere. Mm-hmm. They're both really good fits.
Yeah, what else you got?
I think for Cliff Kingsbury. But also, I'm just not making the decision based on a guy that probably is gone a year or two from now. And your point is, well, then they'll promote someone from within to run his offense. I'm also not that interested in that. It hasn't been proven to be a great offense in the league. We only really saw it in Arizona. It was fine. But B, somebody running Kingsbury's offense is less interesting to me than somebody doing a great job running their awesome offense. But that's a conversation for a year or two, probably. But back to him going with Jaden Daniels, I actually liked that he said, hey, I'm doing this because he's higher on my board, and I really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys just say, I'm hearing, or I think. Well, they're hearing the same things we're all hearing. They're reading stories, or right?
Right.
And he's not playing that game. So I like that. I just want to point out, though, that Kiper's mock last year, and this is not a knock on him. It's a crapshoot. You're guessing. It was nothing like what happened. I went back and looked at his mock draft from the day of the NFL draft last year, his mm-hmm. final one. He had Will Levis as an example going in the top four, who ended up going in the second round. I mean, nothing about it was close. And this guy does this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We don't know anything. That's what we have to keep remembering. The only thing that's out there right now that I really cared about at all from a reporting or speculation standpoint is that Adam Schefter has stuck to his guns that he thinks they like Jaden Daniels. Schefter, who's extremely close with Mike and Kyle Shanahan.
Mm-hmm.
Who does Kyle Shanahan know really well? Adam Peters. Now, I don't think Adam Peters has told Adam Schefter what he's doing. I'd be surprised if he had. But do we think that at no point, football junkie, football robot, 24-hour-a-day football talker, Kyle Shanahan and Adam Peters at no point last year talked about Jaden Daniels or Drake May? I'll bet you it came up at some point. Not that they were scouting or putting a board together. They've got Brock Purdy. Don't you think they talk quarterbacks? They talk football? And even if they don't, Danny, I would imagine he just knows how he thinks. It's like you and I hanging out together.
Sure.
I know what kind of celebrity females you find attractive. I know what you're going to want to talk about before I show up and what you won't. We've been together.
Yeah, we look at I'm at a restaurant menu and go, Grant wouldn't like that.
Exactly. Danny
right.
would order this right here.
That's right.
All he's got to do is talk to Kyle, and he probably has better insight into the mind of Peters than mm-hmm. anybody else.
No, for sure. And so you're right. I if there is something to buy here in this season of misinformation, lying, misdirection, and otherwise, it might certainly be that, which makes a lot of sense. You can connect the dots there. But back to Kiper specifically on Daniels. I think you make a really good point about fit in the short term versus fit in the long term. I guess what I'm trying to quantify is whatever we decide. Like, remember when Mike Shanahan was out of football for whatever it was, a year or two, and he said, you know what, when I come back, I want to run the 3-4 defense.
It was one season.
So, yeah, so it was a year, right? So that's fine whether you agree with that decision or not. I'm not here to rehash it. But that's what he decided was best practice. So he wanted someone to run that. What I'm looking for here for the offense is I don't want to need Cliff Kingsbury one or a direct disciple of his 2-3-4 all the way down the line. I want to have an offensive system that I think is the best way to do it, and then my coaches will come in and do that. It's to prevent the every 2 year my quarterback has to learn new terminology, new positions, new everything to stunt his growth. I don't want that. I don't want a Justin Fields. I don't want a Jason Campbell. I don't want a Haskins or a Sam Howell type situation where every time you show up to work, it's something totally different. It's like learning a brand new language over again. I want some continuity there, which is made more difficult by the fact they have a defensive head coach. So I that's kind of what I'm talking about when I say fit, not necessarily for Kingsbury, because if this goes well, he's gone, right? If this goes according to plan, that guy's not here in short order. I need some continuity there in a space where it's really hard to keep it.
Speaking of Kingsbury, he'll get a great opportunity to sit down and spend some time with Jaden Daniels again in short order. Daniels reportedly, and this has been corroborated by his agent, so we know it's true, is coming to Ashburn Monday into Tuesday for a multi-day hangout with Washington. Now, no reason to make a big deal about that. This is what happens with a top-of-the-board quarterback when you're going to be taking a quarterback. They'll be doing the same thing probably later in the week, if I had to guess, with Drake May. They have already had a hangout, a meeting, a dinner with J.J. McCarthy, mm-hmm. and I think they'll probably have him at the facility, if I had to guess, for another one if they can get it on his schedule. I bring this up, though, because I want to ask this question on the MGM National Harbor listener lines at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Jaden Daniels is visiting Monday and Tuesday. What do you hope they drill down on? What is the line of questioning? Maybe it's a question. What's the thing that is most important for you to dig in on when it comes to Jaden Daniels for the Commanders?
Can you stay healthy? I'm looking at all, I got a highlight reel or low light, whatever you want to call it, of you getting hit so hard. I love the competitiveness, buddy. Appreciate that.
Willingly getting hit.
Yeah, leaning in.
There's the sideline. There's a big defender who's going to put me on my butt. I don't need the sideline.
What are you going to do? And you can't just give me lip service. I need to understand. I don't know how to ask the question. I'm not smart enough to do it. I need to get maybe to strap you to a lie detector test to figure it out. I need you to not take these shots. Now, some hits are inevitable. There's going to be a time. It's 3rd and 5. You know you're getting hit right in the midsection. You got to deliver that pass. Wait that extra beat to let your receiver break open, right? Let Austin Eckler on a choice route. Work the linebacker to one side. Go the opposite direction. You're going to get hit in this position. It's a tough one, right? That's going to happen. How are you going to stay healthy? Your slight frame, what are we going to do? What weight program? Whatever that is, I need to be satisfied that we're going to do everything possible to keep you on this football field. Because I think if that happens, you're going to be wonderful here. How are you going to do it?
I think that's a really good one. I'm going to harp with him on the two things that give me the most pause. First and foremost, why didn't we throw the ball to the middle of the field more? If I could channel my John Gruden and do the wee bit. Hey, man, what are we doing on this play here, brother? Well, it seems like we're a little timid here, man. Why didn't we drive the ball into this small window here, man? I want to go through their offense with him and talk about the lack of middle-of-the-field throws, which is a major precursor for some NFL issues over the years. Doesn't mean every single guy that doesn't do it in college will be terrible. It just means if you're looking for predictors, that's generally a pretty good one. Why didn't we do a lot of that? And the other thing is, I'm having my staff put together a reel of every sack we took, and we're going to go back through and figure out that pressure-to-sack percentage issue that you have. Why didn't we get out of the ball here, man? Why didn't we leave the pocket here, brother? Hey, man, why didn't we throw this one away right here? We're going to go through all of those, and I just want to talk through those with him and get a feel for pocket movement, the ability to kind of feel the walls caving in on you, that clock that you've got to have in your head. Those are the things I think I want to harp on more than anything else, probably.
I get it. And, you know, there are, because I think within that, there are nuances, right? We've talked about this pressure to sack percentage thing everybody has ad nauseum, and there's, I think there are subtleties in there that kind of tell a more complete story. For example, he had among the fewest yards lost per sack of anybody that got sacked, right? So in other words, Caleb Williams was losing 8 yards per sack. So when he's back there, pass rush comes, and it actually gets to him, he would lose about 8 yards per. Jaden Daniels was losing just over 4 yards per, right? Which is a better percentage than almost, a better number than almost anybody. So it tells you a story. It's not as if he can't figure out where everything is coming from. It's not as if he's clueless back there, can't find someone, and just kind of turtles up and gets destroyed and ending a possession. It's maybe barely getting back to the line of scrimmage, pushing up into the middle, stepping up, and then maybe, you know, getting tackled a yard shy. Those kinds of things, I'd love to hear from him, to your point, right? I want to know, like, was this play dead on arrival? Was this play something you could have done something else? Or was this all there was here? Like, I want to dig into all that stuff. It's a good one.
I wonder if I want to go completely old man and go, why were we doing an Instagram Live last week, man? We going to put Instagram Live down, huh?
Get your TikTok, brother.
You going to be on social media all the time, man, doing Instagram Lives with your pals, huh? What is your number one question for Jaden Daniels in this interview process? He is coming for his formal sit-down. He'll spend the day at the facility. He'll go out to dinner at night and then get back after it with more meetings the following day. I would think he's going to sit down for hours on end, all told, with Dan Quinn and Brian Johnson and Tavita Pritchard and Cliff Kingsbury. What do you want them to drill down on when he is in Ashburn? 800-636-1067 is the number on G&D.
Got by far the best running ability of any quarterback in this class. I mean, he had over, I think, 1,300 rushing yards this past season. He's probably the best runner we've seen at the quarterback position in college football since Lamar Jackson, honestly. So I think he's going to be immediately one of the top rushing quarterbacks in the NFL right when he gets into that building. And I still think he really has developed incredibly as a passer, whereas, you know, he kind of really struggled as a passer at Arizona State. Last year at LSU, was very conservative, but improved in a lot of other areas. And this past year, he was a flamethrower for LSU, taking deep shots down the sidelines, making some unbelievable throws. So I loved his progression as a passer throughout his career. And like I said, he's still one of the best mobile quarterbacks that we've seen come out in the last few years, honestly, or over the last half decade. So I think that'll be a really exciting part of the offense. And, you know, a lot of Washington fans, I know it didn't really work out too well, but they can expect probably like an RG3 type of player when they get into college, Jaden Daniels.
That's Max Chadwick of PFF, who joined the show yesterday. If you missed any part of that interview, thefandc.com or grantanddanny.com/audio. Daniels due to come to the district for a meeting with the Commanders on Monday and Tuesday to kick off next week. I would imagine, don't you think, that Drake May would be in sometime later in the week?
You would think so, yeah.
If you're getting to quarterback time, that... I mean, we're here, man.
Yeah.
2 weeks out now.
This is when the visits are. This is when this is happening. You find out you're dotting I's, crossing T's, finding out a little bit more. You already pretty much know the answers, though, in a lot of ways. You've had some time with these guys, but you talk to every coach, every babysitter, everybody in between, right, about these guys. You've done all your research. You've done, like, the ultimate background investigation for a guy you're about to invest a pick in and millions in. But you're confirming some of your priors and maybe trying to find out that one more nugget.
Where do you hope they dine him at? My guess is they'll be out in Ashburn. They always go to that DC Prime, you know, that steakhouse out there, which is really good, by the way. I was there watching Michigan, Washington, national championship football after one of the big press conferences. Maybe it was the Dan Quinn Day or Adam Peters Day or something this winter. But let's incorporate DC if we want to. They want to take him into the city. It'll be Northern Virginia. I'm all for Randy's going to the back room over there, a little Great American Restaurant situation. Love that. Maybe go to Patsy's, sit at the bar afterwards, see if Jaden Daniels wants to watch a little sport with you. Where would you take him for your dinner to try to get to know Jaden Daniels?
That's a great one. God, there's so many. Okay, I might say, hey, this is the Wharf. Check out something down here. We could do something casual, do a Hank's Oyster Bar. I'm blanking on it. The Indian place that's right by Capital One Arena that's so good, world famous. Our buddy Christian used to work there.
Rasika.
We could do that. I mean, that's world class. We could do a barbecue joint. You know, we do a little Hill Country. And there's a million different places
Hill
you could
Country?
Go.
Yeah. It's the number 2 overall pick, man. I love the Hill Country. You're not, We had our original show meeting in Hill Country.
You don't have to tell me that. I was there.
We're wining and dining. My guy's dressed up. We're going out to dinner. It's a business event. The only people that do business events at Hill Country are the Grant and Danny radio program.
So let's put our hair down a little bit. Let's have a casual. Let's get to know the kid.
You want to say, hey, we're going to roll our sleeves up. We don't take ourselves too seriously here in Washington. Me and Lance, you're Adam Peters in this situation. Mm-hmm. Let's just head on over to Ruby Tuesday.
No.
We're doing that kind of
thing. That's not what I'm saying. Okay. But I'm also like, we've got some really cool, unique spots here that it's not just direct. You can get a steak in most places around the country. There's a ton of steakhouses. They're all good.
About me, I love Ruby Tuesday. I would be psyched. I'd be like, you know what? We're a good fit. I'm going to tell the other teams not to draft me. Let's get the salad bar, a bunch of cottage cheese, bacon bits and croutons. That was my salad bar move at the big salad bar at Ruby Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And then a delicious cheeseburger. Oh, they're the best. I do have some breaking news, speaking of some of the things I like to do in my life. This just in to the news desk here at Grant and Danny. This is huge, Danny. I will never again wear a 5950 hat. I think I'm too old and I'm over it.
Oh.
Snapbacks only, rest of my life. I'm giving up on 5950s.
What the?
The flat billed caps.
Yeah, what?
I don't know. I've just grown out of them. I put one on last night. I said, I don't think I'll ever wear one of these again. Snapback hats only. Just thought you should know that.
First of all, that's fascinating to me.
Thank you.
Because I've seen you wear a steady diet of those 5950 hats throughout our relationship.
I don't know when it happened.
But it did.
It wasn't like one day I woke up and it had changed, but it kind of was. It was little by little. More and more snapbacks filling up the closet lately. Go to spring training, the new Nats hat I got.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
It was not a 5950, and yesterday I had one in the basement. I put it on, and I said, who do you think you are?
It's not for me anymore. How about that?
You're too old and fat.
Well, okay, but I'm proud of you for knowing yourself. I wore a lot of hats over the years, as you imagine, playing the old game of baseball. And
very rare now, though.
What? Yeah, because I don't
think I've seen you in a hat like four times
and it bothered everybody so badly. But the trend of hat for a long time was that one-size-fits-all stretchy kind. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, of course.
They're
called Flex Fit.
Yeah, so the Flex Fit. That became what everybody was wearing for years, which is why I stopped wearing hats. I know this sounds
like three sizes, small, medium, large.
Yeah.
The one size fit all Flex Fit.
Because my head's a certain shape. Whatever it is, I basically get a headache every time I put one on. So I said, I'm not doing it anymore. So that's how I got out of the hat habit, was that.
I'm out of the 5950 game.
Wow,
I have
dude.
So many hats, I'm going to have to find new homes.
What are you going
to
do?
By the way. I'm going to have the couple of snap. I'm wearing a snapback right
now.
You
are today. Do a little eBay.
Caps trucker situation.
Do a little eBay selection. Yeah, seriously.
I got a buddy who'll. I'll have to text around. I'm sure
Facebook,
I got a buddy
do a
who
Facebook
wants
marketplace. A little extra cash for you.
I find it weird to sell things online. Just give them to
friends. I get over that when money comes my way. See what I'm saying?
Let's go to Kevin in Arlington on G&D. Kev.
Kev on.
What do you want him to ask Jaden Daniels?
Well, the first thing. He's going to be the CEO of the football team. And so you got to take him to a CEO-type place. So you've got to take him to the prime rib, the Venable Steakhouse on K Street.
Ooh,
that's,
okay.
That's a good
goal
one.
On that. Anyhow, what would I want to ask Jaden in that interview? And the sound he came in with the fellow you had on your show kind of touched upon it, but he didn't say, and how was it that he made that progression from Arizona State to the Heisman winner, 40 TDs, 4 picks last year. So in, you know, less than 3 years, how did he make that huge leap? And was it just maturity in general, or have you got better at film study and processing? I want to understand how his brain works or how he thinks his brain works under duress, in the pocket, and how he processes and how he gets rid of it quickly.
Smart.
I love that one. Thanks,
appreciate you, buddy. We're up against the end of the hour here, but wanted to squeeze you in. I think those are good questions, and I think you got to get to the bottom of how much of it was things he changed, things he did, going to a better program, better offense, better mm-hmm. coaching, better personnel around him. These are all relevant questions. Shorty today on G&D. We're with you until 3:15. The Nats are playing at 4 o'clock here on The Fan.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.